Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. In this episode, we are going to talk about meanness and, you know, how it shows up in our lives and what that means in coaching. How do we approach that? And how can we use coaching concepts to better understand or navigate situations in which we are encountering someone who's being mean or they're showing behavior that seems mean? So, Erin, what do you think when you think of meanness or how we can respond better to meanness?
Yes. So what I think about is most recently in my personal life, seeing all the meanness that's happening among third graders. I have come across some horrific notes about individuals and just kind of some catty fighting between friends and non-friends. And it's just kind of become this thing that didn't really exist as much in earlier grades. And so that's what got me thinking a little bit about meanness and how it starts so young. And the other thing that we can think about when we think about meanness is paying attention. If we're not paying attention to that as parents and teachers and community members, it continues on. And it continues on all these problematic ways that we see in society today. I think later on, LaShawn might speak to one example in kind of more celebrity ongoings right now. But even like when we think about elections and the meanness that is espoused to gain votes or to make people feel better about themselves, when in fact, that's not what meanness does. It does not build anything up. It tears people down. It tears society down in a lot of ways. And so just bringing it back to where I started from, this happens at such a young age. So we have to be very aware as parents and, you know, community members about how we can best support our younger generation of individuals to create a life that is meaningful and purposeful and kind to one another. And this isn't easy work, right? Like when we as parents come across maybe some negative notes or things like that, we have to make a decision. How do we approach our child about this? How do we approach other parents about this and those sorts of things? And that's where some coaching concepts can really come in to help individuals with those moments. So LaShawn, I know you've mentioned some things around meanness as well. So I'm going to punt it right back to you and tell me what's been going on with meanness in your life lately.
Well, I really think that this topic is really serendipitous because you came across that mean letter that was very, you know, worrying for you as a mother, and especially so young third graders. You don't think that, you think like middle schoolers are notorious for being mean to each other, but third graders, that's really sad. So it's really serendipitous because there is something going on around the movie It Ends With Us and Blake Lively. People are starting to show her as a mean girl, and there's arguments about, you know, is she a mean girl? So one of the things that I think would be really a good idea to do is just to define what that is when we're mean or cruel. And one thing that I think of when I think of mean is just a disregard for other people's emotions. They're no empathy, showing no empathy. And on top of not showing any empathy, really just dismissing another person where you talk over them, talk about them in front of them. That's a sign of meanness. Disrespect is part of meanness as well. Maybe even making fun of someone, for example, teasing them in a way that attacks their weaker points, things that they're really self-conscious about, or speaking harshly to other people, I think is a form of meanness. Cruelty would be taking pleasure in someone else's pain, doing things that you know cause them pain and maybe getting some kind of pleasure out of that. There's some meanness there. And also something that comes up with meanness is this feeling that you're better than someone else, that their needs or their emotions, how they feel is not as important as your needs or emotions. treating people like objects, treating them like servants. So those are some things that I think about when I think of meanness, where I think we could definitely use some coaching strategies, some things that we use in coaching to approach those situations where people are being mean, especially when we're adults and we're witnessing it in children, how we can approach those behaviors that we would like to change or that we don't want to see. Going back to what we had talked about in previous episodes, which is agreements and expectations. In structured situations, I would use agreements. So if I look at things like in classrooms and in the office, we can make agreements about our conduct and how we will interact. For example, we could write an agreement with our classmates saying, listen, these are behaviors that result in a comfortable environment. So in structured situations, agreements would be a good way of handling meanness or getting out ahead of it. So then you can hold people accountable to their behavior by saying, hey, we have an agreement that we're going to respect each other. You remember that agreement? How can we return to that? How can we honor that agreement? Another coach concept that is good in a situation where you have an individual who's mean or who has behavior that is perceived as mean is positive reinforcement. We can celebrate and laud kind, compassionate behavior as in classrooms or among our colleagues. And we can keep track of and display good and kind behavior with kids. We can have a chart. We can show how many people are committing acts of kindness, and we could do like a leaderboard or something like that. Those are just some ideas that I have. I think there's certain structures that though that come with the working world, with the office, and then also with the classroom. There's certain structures that we don't have in just everyday life when we are interacting with each other on a day-to-day basis. We're driving behind another person, or we are waiting in line at the grocery store. We can't sit down and talk to them about, let's talk about some agreements. Like, this is how we're going to behave when we're driving, or this is how we're going to behave when we are in a grocery store. However, I think that one thing that we can do in society when people are being mean or we feel like we're being disrespected, dismissed, disregarded, and this might be counterintuitive, but just give someone the benefit of the doubt. In other words, we say, okay, I feel like this person's behavior is very mean. What's going on with this person? Is this person having a bad day? Is this person, maybe it could be cultural. So giving people the benefit of the doubt, I think, can de-escalate a situation if someone is being mean, even if we could just say, it's not me, not taking it personally, and just say, hey, you know, this person's having a bad day. It has nothing to do with me. And if I'm just waiting in line and someone's being rude, then, or I feel like they're being rude, I can either just say, you know, this person's having a bad day. I'm just gonna ignore that behavior. But what do we do when we see another person being mean to another person? Do we speak up? Do we say something? What do you think, Erin?
Yes. So a lot of the curriculum for elementary school age children, middle school, and even high schoolers talks about, how people can move from being a bystander to an upstander or someone who does intervene. And that's the thing that if we don't give those tools of intervention to individuals early on, they're really hard to learn and really hard to practice and really hard to feel confident in executing when we need to most, right? Because we can sometimes be in a very challenging situation and all of a sudden it turns into this mean, aggressive behavior potentially from someone else. And as the third person watching as a bystander, we often will think we don't know the full story, so we shouldn't intervene, or I'm sure she can handle it, or I'm too insecure to handle it myself, so I'm not going to jump in. There's so many reasons to not intervene in those situations when intervention could likely save lives, help other people feel good about themselves, and hold people accountable for these mean behaviors. And the accountability piece, I think, is so important because if you get by exercising being behavior consistently throughout your lifetime, it's on rote for you. You probably don't even realize you're doing it. It's just become a part of your way of being. And so that intervention not only helps the victim in the situations, but also helps the person being mean so that they can maybe be a little bit more aware of how they are handling situations. So I think one of the most important coaching tools we adults can use is a therapist or a coach to talk through these conversations. Hey, I saw this happen. I am still planning on intervening, not sure what to do. Can you help me run through some scenarios? It doesn't always have to be that you intervene right in the minute, in the moment. Now, often, sometimes out of safety reasons, you do need to do that, right? And other reasons, there is that need to intervene right then and there without, much time to plan a response that is hopefully beneficial and hopefully restorative and healing for everyone involved. So those are some of the things that I think of when I think of the skills that we want to have when we are learning more about how we can intervene. And really that first place is gaining those skills by trying them on more often. So another piece is how can you practice intervening? And maybe it's not always with meanness, maybe it's with something else. Keep practicing verbalizing what you know to be true in those situations that are helpful to the individual. And the more that practice comes along, the more likely it becomes something that you can just automatically do in the future. And so I do like to see, and I do like seeing that elementary schools and K-12 schools are teaching kids and teenagers these skills to intervene. And I want to call out our generation and older generations where those skills were not taught, where we have allowed meanness to really permeate our culture. And we have gotten to, I think, a place of crisis with social media that it's not only woven into the fabric of in-person face-to-face meanness, it is constantly there on social media. It is constantly there in the way that we talk about others publicly. And so, like, those things we need to address. Coaching helps us address those by building the skills that individuals need to intervene. The other thing is you might be a person that like goes into fight, flight, or freeze or fawn. You might be a person that just feels totally unequipped, even after practice and even after having some skill building sessions with a coach to have those conversations. That's okay. That's part of the process. You will get there. It is just learning a new way of engaging with the world. I'm sure it's already part of most people's ways of being to look at something that might be mean and say, hey, that's not kind. That's where it usually stops. So now it's taking that to a step further to really intervene and stand up for others in a way that is empowering for the individual as well as ourselves. So, LaShawn, what about you in coaching and other skill building ideas for intervening with meanness?
I love what you said about practice. As a positive intelligence coach, practice is such an integral part of the work that I do, and it's what makes what I do effective. Practice is how we build habits. It's how we get out of that default mode that doesn't always serve us, that causes us to react to things. So you mentioned fight, flight, fawn, freeze. And those are default reactions to stress. They're physiological and we don't have control over them. However, we can learn to notice when we are in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn mode. We can notice what's happening in our bodies. And not everyone has body awareness. That's also something that requires practice. And I want to also stress that in the coaching space, we do encounter uncomfortable situations. We encounter sometimes scary topics. And when you're working with your coach who is skilled and knowledgeable about how we react to certain things, and also knowledgeable about the tools that we can use when we react. So, one of the most exciting things in coaching for me as a coach is when my client gets into a space where they react to something, whether it's something that they had to do and they're recalling it and they feel those same emotions, because our brain does not make a distinction between what is real or what is happening now and what was happening in the past. We're actually having a physiological reaction to whatever that situation was, even though it's in the past. To our bodies and our minds, it's happening now. One of the greatest things about being in the coaching space is you have a partner with you who can notice, hey, I noticed that your breathing is getting really accelerated. Or you could even ask your client if they are body aware, hey, what's going on with your body right now? And then they then notice, oh my gosh, my heart's accelerating. I'm feeling really nervous. And we can then talk about how that feels and then what we can do to activate the parasympathetic nervous system where we can calm down and we can get out of that fight, freeze, fawn, flight mode that we all experience when we feel like we're being threatened. And the brain does not make a distinction between imaginary threat and real threat. So that's really important. That's one of the things that we can do in the coaching space. Furthermore, when we are practicing, when we meet with a coach on a weekly basis, when we use those coaching strategies outside with loved ones that we trust, and we're talking to our loved one and we're saying, you know, that really made me mad. And we say, wait, I'm noticing that I just raised my voice and I realize that I'm, you know, feeling really angry. So I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to count. And then if you have a loving and encouraging partner, that partner can be like, hey, great, that's wonderful that you're aware of your anger, that you're aware of your fear, and that you're doing something about it. And the more that you practice with your loved ones and the people that you trust and partner with experts and professionals like coaches and therapists, you get better and better at it until you get to a point where you can respond. You can notice when you're in that fight, flight, freeze, fawn mode, and you can self-regulate and you can get in the habit of being more aware of what's going on. So awareness is big. Practice, reiterating what you said, Erin, practice is so important. And also it's very important to understand what's happening with you and how you can activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which is really going to counteract that, you know, adrenaline rush or that reaction. And then also, of course, as you said, it's really important to be gentle with yourself and forgiving of yourself when you just react, because hey, we're human.
And this point that you are reiterating here, LaShawn, about having a partner to respond to and get better at recognizing what's going on in our bodies, what we're talking about with another individual, that is so true about that piece of having that be repeated and having that practice consistently to make those shifts over time. This is not something that we just automatically start to implement these changes in the way we feel and the way we think or in the way we can respond to get us out of fight or flight, for instance. This takes time, gentleness and patience with ourselves, with our coach and therapist, with other people, because the other piece that I see people get stuck with is when they are actually making these changes, but nobody else around them is doing the personal development work. So they get even more frustrated without really sitting with that and interrogating that piece and just being okay with wherever anybody else is at while doing the internal work that they need and want to do to live a more fulfilling life, to be able to be strong and intervene when necessary, to move from various ways of being that maybe align more with the meanness side to more compassionate and kind ways of thinking about others and feeling about themselves, so that that becomes something that is second nature. It's something that is part of the entire individual's mind, body, soul, all of those things, and creates this kind of cocoon or container of brave kindness and really kind living toward others.
That's such a good point, Erin. And that brings me to another coaching concept that we use, and that is powerful questions. And I think to your point about having kind living is asking the question, what kind of society do I want? How do I want to contribute to society? This is going to lead to deep thought about where we show up every day in society, not just where we show up in our lives, but where we show up when we're interacting with our fellow citizens, where we show up when we're with our children or when we're around other children, if we don't have children of our own. Children are always watching adults and they learn more from what we do than from what we say. I would say they've learned to kind of tune us out when we talk, but they definitely are not tuning out what we're doing. And a lot of this meanness could also come from what they're seeing in social media if they are exposed to social media. A child may not be exposed to social media at home, but their peers could. And if they're seeing this behavior of attacking others, of being mean, if that's normalized in social media, then it's going to come out in real life. Definitely asking questions, being curious. I think that's a really important part of coaching is being curious. So when we are in a situation where there's unpleasantness and there's unwanted behavior, it's easy, as you were saying, to get into the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And that's our default. When we're stressed, we're going to go into our default. And one of the things that we can do to disrupt that automatic response is get curious. Ooh, I wonder why that person was mean, or I wonder why I think that person is mean, or I wonder what's going on with me, that feeling that's associated with this behavior, and get curious about that. And so when you can get curious about that, you are lighter, and then you're able to approach the situation with a little bit of distance. And that's another coaching strategy or something that we do in coaching that's important is putting distance between yourself and what's happening. Even if it's emotional distance, you being objective when looking at something. And curiosity almost always helps with that. Getting curious, being like, ooh, what is this? It lightens it. And the other thing that we can do is just remind ourselves that the other people's behavior is not so much a reflection of us, the other person, but that person, what's going on with that person? You may have done something that resulted in a person like lashing out at you, but understand that the way that someone reacts to your behavior is a reflection of their emotional intelligence. It's a reflection of what's going on with them, the balance that they have. It's not so much a reflection of you. Although we can be objective about our behavior, like maybe, ooh, I shouldn't have done that so abruptly or something like that. But ultimately, someone's reaction to what you do or say is their responsibility. Those are some things that I was thinking about. Erin, can you think of anything else to add?
I just want to reinforce the curiosity piece. I love how you pulled that in there. And so really that's all I wanted to do is just to affirm that and say how invaluable that can be. And that curiosity on so many levels about our own thinking, our own traumas, our own feelings about situations, to help get us out of those moments where we feel frozen or want to flee the situation or those sorts of things, I think can be a really powerful tool. And then the other thing that I find is feedback. Feedback is so helpful for us when we are dealing with a challenging situation. And it's really hard to know what to do often when we just try to problem solve on our own. We're all kind of our own lone wolf in these situations. That may be helpful if things have to be done quickly, but on the other hand, it is best often to really get multiple viewpoints and feedback about situations to find maybe the best entry point into difficult conversations or maybe coming up with a meeting of multiple people to come together to problem solve. But I will say I'm curious now a little bit about just like this level of meanness at this cultural lens. instead of just at the individual or the personal lens. What else can we do there? I mean, I know we can work on our own selves and work on our responses and work on not letting things just happen and really intervening when we need to. But culturally, I don't know, LaShawn, do you have ideas on what we can do as a as an American culture to work on creating a more kind world?
First thing that comes to mind is whatever you put your money towards. If when you look at clean eating or you look at who you patronize. So for example, are you going to buy from a store that makes their products in-house or that is not using child labor, that kind of thing. You really are conscientious about where you put your money. I think if you make a statement just by what you support, if you're supporting people who are kind, or you're supporting organizations or behavior or campaigns that show some kindness, some hope, something that you are more, that you value more, and just don't put any energy, any attention to the things that you don't like. And if you like start sharing posts that are all uplifting and that show kindness, and then on social media, if you are put, if somebody looks at your social media feed or whatever, they see what you're sharing and you're putting out there light as opposed to shade, then that's one way I think we can contribute to the zeitgeist, or we can contribute to the cultural landscape. Another thing I think is the opposite of ignoring, but like speaking out or saying, hey, I don't agree with this. I think that putting your own voice in the comments, if there's a whole bunch of mean comments, you can put a comment that says, hey, can we be nicer to each other? Or, and this will often be attacked in social media, but if the important thing is that there's another voice out there. Being a voice, speaking out when we see it in social media or just in our circles, I think that's one way that we can change, or we can contribute to a different way of treating each other. So those are some things that I'm thinking about. What about you, Erin?
I think that social media piece is important. And I also think it comes up too on the other end when people just like post positive posts about themselves consistently to, I don't know, maybe feel better than other people or that piece. So that's another piece of like hidden meanness or unkindness that I think can often go unnoticed or unchecked. So that's one thing. And then the other thing I was thinking is jokes, right? Like there is a fine line with humor. And if you're not a professional comedian, I would suggest it's probably not a good idea to make a joke about a person. Or I don't know. I maybe we need to flesh this out a little bit, but there is some meanness behind jokes. It's like a passive aggressive way of kind of sharing what you don't like about an individual. And I don't know. I that doesn't sit well with me often, but I do love humor. I do love stand-up comedy. So trying to kind of find that balancing act there, I think can be helpful, and it would be helpful even for me to just better understand where I'm at on that too. So those are the things. And then I think the final thing for me as a parent is, let's say I get a message and it's from another parent saying, hey, your daughter did this. I need to not go on defense mode, right? I need to sit there and go back to that curiosity that we talked about and say, huh, I'm going to look into this and I'll get back to you. Because if we try to hold these perfect images of our own children and think they wouldn't do certain things, that leads to a lot of masking, that leads to a lot of shame, even in which then becomes a much bigger problem and with depression and other things. So really just being open to the fact we're all flawed. And if someone calls us out, we can sit with that and listen and respond in a way that is hopefully community building rather than tearing down. So those are the other kind of items that I was thinking of. So where do we go from here, LaShawn? Which way should we go with the podcast now?
Well, I want to bring back humor because I think that is such a good point. Yes, there's a fine line. One thing that's really popular now with stand-up comedians is talking to the audience. And sometimes they'll pull someone out of the audience and kind of poke fun at them. But you can see like there's a subtle art to that where you're attacking the person or you're including them in the joke. And I think it's really important. Humor is such a good way to lighten a mood or to lighten a situation in a tactful way. And I think number one is include yourself in that self-deprecation, you know, that kind of that thing where you kind of make fun of yourself, like, oh man, you know, man, sometimes I can really do stupid stuff, you know, and hey, that's just part of being human. And just like making a joke out of it, maybe even exaggerating it, so that you're kind of making fun of yourself, but you're making fun of the human condition. And I think that's where humor can be really effective. This was a, you know, just a, it's at the beginning of looking at meanness. But I think not just meanness, but the flip side of that is how do we as a people want to be? How do we want to show up? How do we want to treat each other? What do we want to model for our children so that they can have the society that they create? Are they going to create a society that's, you know, really mean and superficial? Or are they going to create a society that's sincere and based on love and appreciation? And another thing that I think is really important is to continue to elevate those values of kindness, vulnerability, love, compassion. They're often seen as weak, less desirable. Often they're not things that people want to emulate. And I would really like to see that change and to shift that into, hey, the cool people are kind, they're not mean. And often the cool people are mean. And you see it in our stories. Very rarely are they kind, compassionate. They're often kind of mean. So I think it's important to consider that as well.
I did read one time, this was a few years ago, and it said, I think kids who tend to be more bullies and then become more bullies as adults are typically our higher earners in society. And I was like, oh, that's interesting to think about. So I think I'd like to point out with that, there's so much room for everybody to do their thing and do it well. We don't need to be tearing anybody else down. So I think my nugget of wisdom is to just be intentional and ask yourself why you said something that you did, why you said something that might have been hurtful, and start to shift that work and do the inner work on the way of being. And I think as that shift starts to happen, you can continue to have more of those coaching conversations with the tangible, interventions that you can do when you see meanness.
Great. And I would add along those lines is how can I be a champion for kindness? Or ask yourself where in your life you can be that example in your inner circle, in your community, and on social media of a person who is kind and someone who values kindness. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.